And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. So I quoted that guy, what was his name? The comedian in my monologue a moment ago. Stephen, hang on a second, I'll find it. Steve Hughes. Yeah. British guy. Did this whole segment, and by the way, there are pieces of it that I cannot play on family-oriented radio. It was largely pretty clean, I'll be honest with you. There's a few words that I'm pretty sure might be considered dicey. How about that? But there was one whole section there on being offended, like the idea of being offended. So I decided, you know what? His British accent's a little thick. I think you'll be able to get it. But I sent the audio in to Butters and Big Rig, and they've got it loaded up. You got that thing loaded up, Big? Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go ahead and play it. It just, the idea of snowflakes, the idea of living offended, I think he nails it, hit it.
I was offended and I have rights. So what? Be offended. Nothing happens. You're an adult. Grow up. Deal with it. I was offended. I don't care. Nothing happens when you're offended. There's nothing. I went to the comedy show and the comedian said something about the Lord and I was offended. And when I woke up in the morning, I had leprosy. Nothing happens. I want to live in democracy, but I never want to be offended again. Well, you're an idiot. How do you make a law about offending people? How do you make it an offense to offend people? Being offended is subjective. That has everything to do with you as an individual, or a collective, or a group, or a society, or a community, your moral conditioning, your religious beliefs. What offends me may not offend you. And you want to make laws about this? I'm offended when I see boy bands, for God's sake.
Boy bands.
That's a valid offense. I'm offended. They're corporate shills posing as musicians to further a modeling career, and frankly, I'm disgusted. Well, what am I going to do? Call the cops? Hello, it's me again. They're on the telly this time. Five of them, that's it. Yeah, white suits, dancing like girls, that's them. 5 minutes, I'll be out the front traumatized. Bye.
go ahead and kill it. That's good. That's awesome. Boy bands. Boy bands offend him. Do boy bands offend you? You played in the metal band. Do boy bands offend you, Big Rig?
No.
You can live with Boys to Men and New Kids on the Block and all that?
Yeah, I could live with that. I mean, it didn't really offend me.
So you're not calling the cops on the offense of the boy bands?
No.
Dancing as corporate shills, just furthering their modeling career and pretending to be musicians?
No.
Okay. Either way, I thought the guy nailed it. And yeah, you know what? People just try to live offended sometimes. That's what I said in my model. Sometimes people just try to live offended, like just striving for the next offense so they can air their grievances in the public square. And there's a vast difference between having opinion and screaming your offense. What are you doing?
I think, like, when did sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? When did that become untruth?
I think he even says that in a different part of the skit that he was doing there. Exactly. Sticks and stones. Okay, I get it. Those can hurt. Words. Now, truthfully, I do understand that there can be bullying words. There can be words that you use to demean somebody, and you know, you can do emotional trauma, truly. But not like, we're not talking about that. We're talking about snowflakes right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like little bitty stuff, like, I wanted to get a free grade in my, because I went out and protested and skipped class that day. No, you didn't. You were at Starbucks all day talking mean things. That's all you were doing. Anyway, all right. Text lines are open. You can text it or call it, and I'll just tell you right now. But several text messages all the way in. By the way, Thomas from Athens says the snowflake rant well presented. Note that each actual snowflake is absolutely amazingly unique. That's the real one. So the progressive strategy of putting people in many different categories does tend to cause persons to identify themselves as being unique. Gender identification, just one category. Boy, he went all in on this this identification of snowflakes. All right, we'll take more text messages and jump into the show here momentarily as we come back from this break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. I'm talking about y'all. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I am going about to jump into dipper number one, but let me get a few text messages so I don't get too far behind. Allie from Athens texted in. Oh, that's right. She was at Oberlin College. I forgot about that. She says, when I was a student at Oberlin College more than 50 years ago, what we tried to do was burn down a memorial that had been erected that honored the deaths of American missionaries in China. There was no pushback. I'm really glad to hear the administration at Oberlin College has grown at least a little bit of a spine since then. Indeed, my radical friend, indeed. Jeff from Indiana, kudos to the college that flunked everyone that took off for the protest. They learned a real-world lesson. You can't just do that in the real world after you graduate. That's where the lesson lies. You all right, brother? John from Huntsville. I guess the lesson there is you're going to lay out, you're going to pay out. So I just coined that. You're welcome to put that on a bumper sticker. It's all good. John from Huntsville says, nice monologue, Phil. And I know if Boomer is out there listening somewhere, he also enjoyed that monologue because he's always anti-snowflake. Also, just wanted to let you know that if you think the NFL games are rigged, it's a very controversial topic right now. They are. They're rigged for Taylor Swift. Because we all personally know that if you read the narratives that somehow or another, Taylor Swift single-handedly won the game for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not sure how she did it without going on the field, but she single-handedly won the game and got them into their second run at the Super Bowl. What do you think?
You're not supposed to know.
I'm not supposed to know what?
How she did it.
Oh, it's a secret.
Yeah,
it's part of like Swiftie magic?
I think so. That's part of her mystique.
Swiftie magic. She just does things. She shows up, poof. She's like the fairy godmother for football now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so now I guess the question becomes, do other teams like start bidding on trying to get her to date their players? Or how does that work?
They're like, does she have a sister? We need her over here. San Francisco wants a Swift. We need somebody like this. Okay. Yeah. I heard the Titans were getting Britney Spears and it wasn't working out. Just saying. Little cray cray. All right. Going on. I'm moving. I'm going forward. I'm leaving. I'm going on. David from Huntsville. David Frunzel sent in. And by the way, David, thank you very much. He's pointing out that we do know the names. And I said them yesterday, too. They do know the names of the three soldiers who were killed in Jordan. They were all three Georgia reservists, all three. So thank you, David. I appreciate you bringing that up. And I will touch on that later in the show, I believe. We're waiting to hear what the Pentagon is going to say. But so far, what they're saying is a whole lot of, we're going to do something, but they haven't said what something really means. David from Athens says, Phil, they tell us no two snowflakes are alike. I don't think we have enough letters or symbols to classify all of them individually. Nice. Well played. Chef Ben from Aniana. I love Chef Ben. I love his food, too. Matthew 24:12 says, in the last days, love for one another will wax cold. So many people living offended truly should double down on their scripture. Pray for our country. There you go. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. I'm going to jump right on in right now. Library wars. I know that I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. When did libraries become so controversial? How is it that a library, that hallowed place that just smells like, you know, books and quiet, and you get, it's restful, and you get on in there, and you find that adventure story, and you know, you're reading like Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer kind of stuff, and Hardy Boys mysteries. Maybe I'm dating myself. How about this? Good stuff. You need knowledge. It's on the shelves for you. You need assistance finding the book. They always know right where it is. Dewey Decimal System. Different thing. Computer access to things that you never saw out there in the world. Now it's like the epicenter for wokeness. I do not understand how in the world we have gotten to a place where the library is the centerpiece for how not to do it. Let me start with this. I've got a stack. In fact, I had to go back and through and number them to make sure I had them in the right order. So let me just jump on in here. And by the way, keep in mind, top of the hour, we're going to have Elizabeth Stewart from Moms for Liberty calling in. She's got some information that deals with libraries. It deals specifically with library boards and the idea that you can't have control of our board. Well, yes, we can. The law says so. But let's talk about what's in the library. So here's a story from Alabama Reflector. By the way, if you want to read the opposing view, go to Alabama Reflector. I thought that AL.com was liberal, and then I found Alabama Reflector. And I know why. It's because it's run by a guy named Brian Lyman, who was a reporter in Montgomery for the Advertiser for a number of years. And I like Brian. Nice guy, but I could always tell that he had a liberal bent. Well, now he runs the Reflector, and oh, yes, he does. So, story came out in September of this year. I'm backing up a little bit to give you the lay of the land. Keep in mind, liberals want to call it book banning. If you're able to get the book in another part of the library, it's not a ban. If you're able to get the book from Amazon.com and have it delivered to your house, it's not a ban. If you are able to run down to Barnes & Noble or Books A Million and you find a little section they call banned books, which they have right now because I saw it the other day. If you're down there and it says banned books, but they're selling them, guess what? They're actually not banned. They like to use the term. But the truth is, we do have books that are now being challenged for their appropriateness for children. And rightfully so. What society worth its salt would not check to make sure that what is in front of their children is considered age-appropriate and responsible? What? I don't want to live in a society where we don't question that. I mean, have you ever thought about it that way? I don't want to live in a society that could care less what our kids look at. I do not want my grandchildren growing up in a society where nobody cares a whit about the level and the content and the extent to which liberals will try to put something in front of children. I don't want to live in that place. Well, liberals do. So the executive board of the Alabama Public Library, according to the story here from the Reflector back in September, was voting to create a list of books with content that people may find inappropriate for teenagers and children. Shock, awe. The proposal, sponsored by Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall, who I hope will be on the show tomorrow, a member of that board, came after a crowded public comment period. It passed unanimously. So here's the deal. It says across the country, libraries have faced challenges to their content. Simultaneously, libraries have withdrawn or discussed withdrawing the American Library Association due to the association's defense of LGBTQ+ books. Let's be honest. They're not just defending LGBTQ+2IA, whatever acronym books. We're talking about they are all in. What's her name? Drabinsky? Yeah, Emily Drabinsky. Emily Drabinsky is the new head of the American Library Association, who self-identifies herself as a genderqueer Marxist lesbian. That's what she calls herself. I'm not putting the words in her mouth. That's on her social media. I'm a genderqueer Marxist lesbian. Awesome. And she's the head of the American Library Association, who, by the way, said that she wants to turn libraries into spaces of what she calls queerness and difference rather than of democracy and citizenship. She just, touts it all in a place called Queering the Library Space, which focuses on the example of a library board voting to remove LGBTQ+ books. So that's the head of the American Library Association. Is there any wonder why we're beginning to question? So the story here from Reflector goes on to say, proponents of restricting books are saying they're not trying to ban them, and they're not targeting the LGBTQ2IA+ acronym community. In fact, one lady named Hannah Reese, she has an organization they started called Clean Up Alabama. Their mission in life, like Moms for Liberty, is to make sure that what is before kids is what should be before kids, and otherwise should be left to the parents to decide whether it should. It's not for a public library. It's literally, it should not be for a public library paid for with your taxpayer dollars to decide rightness and wrongness about generally speaking, inappropriate content. So she went on to say that, on to read, a sexually explicit passage from a book called Tricks by Ellen Hopkins. Tricks is, by the way, listed right now as being in the Madison Library in the youth adult section, and it talks about five young people who fall into prostitution, and it gives graphic details of what they experience. Why is that in there? Well, it gives a well-rounded experience to the children who read the book. Okay, maybe no. So that's in September, all right? September, they were having the meeting. September, they passed the resolution. Next article online, I already numbered them here. Number two. Liberal piece written on WBHM.com, which is a localized outlet, goes on to talk about book bannings, talking about how there's been 3,300 books banned in public K-12 schools. Again, if they take it out of a children's school library, but the parents can still buy it for their child if they want to on Amazon, it is truly not banned. It is considered to be off the shelf in that library. There's a big difference. It says the vast majority of challenges actually come from a vocal minority of individuals. Okay. 11 people responsible for filing 60% of the challenges in 2022, according to the Washington Post investigation. Well, first of all, I don't trust anything the Washington Post says. But even so, okay, so what? I would say the vast majority of religious freedom challenges are filed by one organization out of Wisconsin, right? The Freedom From Religion Foundation. What's your point? It says, in many cases, though, the challenge books are removed from student access before they're even read. Good. That's kind of the point. We caught it before it got there. Majority of bans target books featuring LGBTQ plus themes or characters. Yes. Yes, they do. It goes on to say, and this is what I want to take an issue. They have a whole section here just on Alabama in this article from WBHM. They do Alabama, Louisiana, a couple other states. The Alabama section, libraries. Well, I mean, why are libraries so controversial? They're controversial because of people like this. The article says, Republican state lawmakers incensed over public libraries choosing to include what they view as objectionable sexual content in children's and young adult stacks. Okay, first of all, is there a non-objectionable sexual content for children? What's your point? Oh, it's only the objectionable sexual content that we want to take away from kids. How about this? Why are you trying to sexualize kids at all? Why? Has anybody ever asked that question to a lib? Why is it you are adamantly desirous of sexualizing children? What is your point? Oh, you just want them to know what you feel deeply inside. You. Oh, that's what it is. Well, that's where we are. We're going to come back from this break, and I'm going to give you a little more, because here's what happened. The book banning thing, not so much. It's not book banning. But we now have an opportunity for book challenges. How's that working out? Well, they didn't want to talk about it for a while. And then, sure enough, liberals decided, let's ban books about America, too. How about that? That'll show them. Ugh, it goes on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Oh, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it Library Wars. We've done this kind of segment before because there's like a never-ending stream of stuff to talk about. And keep in mind, too, coming up top of the hour, Elizabeth Stewart from Moms for Liberty will be calling in, because it's not just what they do. Sometimes it's who's in charge. If you've got a local library board and they are not responsive to you, and they are like blowing you off, they could care less, and they're determined to put wokeness in, well, guess what? You may have a right to have a new board. Well, what happens if the board control is actually not being handled the way the law says it should? We'll talk to Elizabeth Stewart about that top of the hour. So I'm in this section, Library Wars. I just finished covering a piece that where I talked about, you know, first of all, and I'll repeat this, I don't want to live in a society that could care less what our kids see. We should never be in that place. We should never be in the place where, as a society, we're like, you know, whatever, man, they'll figure it out. Ah, you know, hey, let them see it. Whatever. It won't hurt. It can hurt. You can mess up a kid. And they know that. By the way, liberals know that. Their goal right now is to indoctrinate children in any way they can. They'll slide it into their cartoons. They'll put it on their TV shows. They'll put it on the back of their cereal box. They'll do something on a juice box. And, oh, by the way, they'll get it in the children's section of the library. It's sick. It really is. And you have to ask the question, why do you want this in front of our kids so badly? All right, well, let's talk about some of the things that are in front of kids. We have a thing right now called the challenged book list. So I told you a minute ago that back in September, the State Library Association or State Library Board actually adopted a piece by John Wall and passed a resolution developing what they call a means by which you can challenge books and create a challenge book list. Story here on 1819 News came out in January 13th, says, Public Library Service has reportedly done an about-face. They're going to let you know what's on the list. Because for a while there, that list was being made and it was kept private. It was only for librarians to look at and know things. Well, you might want to know what's being challenged. Well, guess what? Says, the board initially said the list of challenged books would only be available to library employees as a reference guide. But our friend Brian Taylor, who's been on the show multiple times, he was actually hired as an attorney. And he worked with the situation. And he got them to agree that that should be a public list. Okay, the list is now public. Guess what happened? Kind of predictable. It says 83 books right now are on the challenge book list, including books about LGBTQ content and, oh, by the way, stories about faith and prominent conservatives. Why would that be? Because liberals are like, well, if we can't have our stuff, you can't have yours. So we don't want you talking about America. Let's listen to this. Liberals have now tried to have books written by things like Ben Carson called Why America Matters. Why? How about Rush Limbaugh's books? He did children's books like Paul Revere. Okay. We don't want them to learn about that. Constitutional liberties and freedom in the Revolutionary War and American history. Shoo, man, that's dangerous stuff. Meanwhile, there's 16 books related to LGBTQ issues like When Aiden Becomes a Brother, or Being You, A First Conversation About Your Gender, or Bye Bye Binary. Listen, those books should be challenged. My anticipation is that there's a meeting today. Right now, as we speak, they are meeting. This very minute, in Montgomery. Story here on AL.com. Talks about the fact that of the 83 books, there are at least 23 that are truly deemed inappropriate by Clean Up Alabama and others. And they are considering those right now. I guess they're going to look through it, cull the list. My anticipation is that list won't stand, that, you know, liberals won't be allowed to just go, well, then let's go ahead and ban the Constitution, because that's what they're trying to do. It's like, I don't know, some level of mental flatulence on their part. They're just literally it's awful. It smells. So there. But the truth be told, we should at all times care what's in front of our kids. And oh, by the way, there's a bill right now, and I'll tease the next segment with Elizabeth Stewart by saying this. There's a bill right now by Senator Chris Elliott. It's already been pre-filed. We had him on the show to talk about it last week. And it clarifies that county and city officials would be allowed to remove their local library board members, who shall then serve at the pleasure of the respective appointing authorities. Well, we got an issue going on right now in Athens, and we're going to talk about it with Elizabeth Stewart after the break, because it appears that Athens may have what you might call a non-responsive board. And oh, by the way, it may appear also that they're not even members who were supposed to have been appointed because, I don't know, the appointing authorities aren't operating correctly. How crazy is this? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes even the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, continuing this thread, the library wars, this is the day. We got tussles going on statewide right now. I told you a while ago that the Alabama Public Library Service is having its meeting, or may have already had its meeting, down in Montgomery. And I told you that the vice chair of the Democrat Party, who is a less like a progressive liberal screamer, Tabitha Eisner, is on social media talking about how we're all down here wearing our book banning stickers. Okay, good. Well, we got doings going on right here in North Alabama in a similar vein. And Moms for Liberty, the ladies have been on the show multiple times, are heavily engaged in this right now. And so without further ado, let me bring on Elizabeth Stewart, who is the vice chair for Moms for Liberty in Madison. She's got some updates on some things that are happening today in the North Alabama area. Elizabeth, how you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for having me on.
I appreciate it. And as always, thanks for what you guys do. What do you know, anything at all? I haven't heard any updates about the stuff in Montgomery, and then tell us what's happening up here in North Alabama.
Well, I can update you up north. Today at 4 p.m. at the main Huntsville Madison Library, there is their library board meeting. These are typically monthly, and we do have a number of speakers lined up. I want to say between 5 and 10, but Moms for Liberty will actually have a 10-minute slot, and it's very important. We have a speaker that's a former librarian. And we are at a point in this state and in this discussion where we are going to define the terms. We're going to define what censorship is. We are having to define what relocation means. And we are having to define what explicit materials means. And so she's going to do just that. And Moms for Liberty, our position is that there are a number of books that are positioned within libraries, and it varies depending on the library system, that has explicit material that's inappropriate for minors. And that could be minors under 10. It could be the 12 to 18 stage. And so we are having to define for the Read Freely crowd what it means to relocate to an adult section, because that is not book banning. That is not book burning. It is called common sense. And we should have book policies in place for the purchase with taxpayer dollars of books that come into public libraries, of where those books are placed. And for children that have a child's library card, the state mandates that in Alabama. My children have children's library cards. They should not be able to check out books beyond their stated age that the library has mandated I provide them. And so we have very common sense policy requests that continue to be made and for the most part have gone on deaf ears. But I do believe that the legislature is getting involved. I believe APLS board in Montgomery, hopefully, will be getting some new appointments. And we are just going to continue pushing and having common sense voices heard from parents and grandparents in North Alabama.
Well, you know, and by the way, thank you for what you're doing. And it's a crying shame that we have to say we're pushing for common sense, because it's not that common anymore.
Exactly.
And the idea that a library is going to be controversial is just something that I did not expect to see. So I made a comment earlier that I don't want to live in a society where we don't pay attention to and care about what's in front of our children. Any society should care, and any society should be taking steps to make sure that their children are seeing that which is age appropriate. And oh, by the way, if it's something that is being purchased with tax dollars, it's even more necessary to provide accountability, because you and I are paying for it.
I agree. And I'm very confused at the opponents who claim that they are for free speech. I'm thinking, have you ever been to a movie theater? Have you ever had to buy anything online? Have you ever had to go purchase alcohol? I mean, we have lots of things in this country that require age limits, that have rating systems. And they're acting as if this is just a concept that they've never heard of before. And I'm thinking, no, we protect minors and we have age categories. Even at theme parks, you have to be a certain height to go on a ride and you have to be a certain age. This is not an unusual request that we're making, that appropriate books go into three different age groups every time.
Well, and I think it's interesting that you're having to define those terms, like you said. But one of the things that we're also finding so much is that who's on these boards is sometimes a little surprising. Sometimes it's a matter of apathy, or they just been ignoring, or for that matter, turning a blind eye, or sometimes there's actual activists who sit on some of these boards. And you've been dealing with the Athens Library about the actual appointees to the board. Give us an update on that.
Yeah, so I am a resident of Athens City in Limestone County. We only have one library. I don't know if many people know that, but it is a joint resolution library that was established in 2001. And joint resolution is the way a lot of libraries across Alabama exist when there is a county and a city that's combined. So this was established to have a board that is operated with three City of Athens appointments to the library board and two county library appointments, and there's two specific governing bodies. And as I did more research on this, I've had to put in public access requests just to go back to the beginning of the library, and nobody can tell me who the original appointments were.
Yeah.
I've been able to go back as far as 2009, and what I have found was that in 2009, the City of Athens did a resolution signed alone by the City of Athens where they took over the entire board. So since 2009, all appointments have been made by one of the two governing bodies, the City of Athens. The County of Limestone currently has no representation on this board, yet they pay yearly. They own half of the building, 50-50, with the city. And I don't think that the county residents realize that their voice is not getting heard, and very important policy decisions are about to be made per the governor's advice. And not only that, the board in Athens Limestone Public Library consists of these five people. The chair of the board has been on the board for about 15 years. That is an open violation of the public policy. It's stated on page 6 of the publicly posted policy. It says no member can serve more than two consecutive terms. He is an open violation in his fourth term, and another member is in a third term. And that particular seat, the City of Athens just unilaterally reappointed him, even though multiple candidates from the county applied last fall and multiple county commissioners had requested these candidates get a seat on the board. So it's almost as if the City of Athens has just gone rogue. I don't know the backstory, but the county commissioners last week did their own resolution stating that it is their desire to adhere to the public posted policy, and they want their seats back.
Yeah.
So we're just in this quandary of how does that happen? And the county wants it. I think the citizens deserve it before policy decisions are made. And we have two members that know that they're in violation and they don't want to step down.
Well, so, I mean,
it's just wild.
It is wild. It's like their own little fiefdom. This is like, and go figure that the local library board has become like some kind of, you know, place where people lock in and they get tenure. I'm tenured as a library board member. You can't have my spot. But, well, listen, this is the kind of thing that has to happen. I mean, you guys are doing it once again, where you're just, all you're doing is asking the right questions. And I know they're making you go through FOIA requests, and I know that you're having to, you know, Freedom Information Act's got to be followed, I guess they say, but it's still supposed to all be done with open meetings. And yeah. So I hope what we're going to find is that we're not having a bunch of backdoor, closed door, handshake, don't tell anybody kind of meetings, because everything that you're seeing right now, even a library board, is supposed to be a public meeting.
Yes, and please, wherever your listeners are, this is not, I live in Limestone, so I have a vested interest. It's a library that my children use, but this is not uncommon. We have a lot of different groups across Alabama engaging in this, and they are finding library board situations where people are sitting on them way too long, not following their public posted policy, board members that don't know their public posted policy. This has unfortunately become the norm. However, the positive side is for those of us that want to see meaningful policy changes, one of the best ways to get members on the board that are there for the right reasons is to find folks that are in open violation and then push for the replacement.
Well, good on you. And listen, that meeting you've got today is at 4 o'clock, you said, right? Coming up here in about 45 minutes?
Yes, sir. It's right at the Huntsville-Madison, the main library downtown. And it's open to the public, so anybody can come and listen. I believe there'll be numerous news outlets there. And I'm hoping that we just can keep talking about common sense and putting our children before our own needs.
Well, I agree. Because, I mean, truth be told, that's what it's about. It's not about power. It's not about control. It's not about agendas. What this is really about is it's our kids. And we should care about our kids, and we should care enough to do right by our kids. And so thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me on and just continuing to alert the public. I appreciate it.
All right, Elizabeth, we'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and kind of call this one. I mean, we just spent 45 minutes on libraries. Go figure. We're going to move to a break right now, but as we do, let me just say, Elizabeth Stewart just said, and Emily Jones, the two of them, and several, Lee from Huntsville, all of our friends, they are actively engaged in just being citizens who care. That's all this is. It's just folks who are like, I got a question, and I'd like to have an answer, and, oh, by the way, here's a better way to go forward. That's all it takes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.